Hello everyone, I'm Maddie Smith and this is That Time of the Week! Let's get into our topics for the week. Things are reopening, the world is getting back to normal. I know that because last night I spent $80 on Ubers. Nature is healing. And I'm happy to be here. I will say during the pandemic, I was like working on my mental health and I was like, I'm done with the hustle. I'm done spreading myself thin. Call me coffee because I'm back on my grind. I am spreading myself as thin as they come and I am so excited. But one positive we have noted is that sweatpants might be staying with us for a while. Fashion analysts in Cosmopolitan magazine told us that they are here to stay. And for me, it's true because sweatpants are the only thing that fit me right now. Oh, name the movie.
Oh, Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Yes. I don't think I'll be wearing sweatpants because I actually went to therapy for the past 6 months. And in therapy, I found out that I have a fucking hot body. Okay. And yeah, it's time to show it up. Isn't it crazy? You go in and
I'm
you're
looking
like,
at you.
Wait, what the fuck? And she's like, you're hot as hell. And now we're fucking dating. So it worked out. But it's a good thing that sweatpants are staying in because weed is now legal in New York State, something like that. I know we've talked about weed on the pod a bunch of times, but I keep forgetting. Marijuana. So we got the weed legalization. We're gonna find out what the impact of weed will be on comedy. It might be bad, might be good. I've done some weed oriented shows and every comedian bombed, so we're gonna have to find out what the happy medium is between legalization and not having every person in the audience wonder how they got to the point where they are in life. But let's get started. We're gonna talk about all of these topics a little later in the pod. Let's introduce our guests. What the fuck is up?
Hey, baby.
From the Hot Mess Comedy Hour podcast, we have Emily Lubin and Andrea Allen.
Hey.
What is up, girlfriends?
Whew. Sun's out, guns out.
Guns are out. Buns are out.
They really are out.
Everyone's looking hot in New York City.
Are all out. Mm-hmm. We had a 65 degree weather day last week and girls are in shorts. They're in white t-shirts with no bra.
White t-shirts, no bra. Mm-hmm.
My legs are not ready though. Mm-hmm. I haven't shaved them in weeks.
I literally looked at my legs today and I said, I don't have enough razor heads to be. Because you know, you do one leg that's fully hairy and you're like, it's dull as hell now. Yes. I'm going to need a few to switch in and out or even nair it because it's a problem right now.
Be careful with that nair.
Careful with the nair.
My high school self remembers the burning of my Irish skin with the nair.
My pussy is tremoring. Oh.
I also looked at my bush today and I was like, should I? Nah, he doesn't deserve it.
No, you have a boyfriend. That's like half the appeal.
I know, but sometimes when you like take it off, you get a little bit more turned on.
Sure.
You know, my boyfriend actually shaves my pussy for me.
What?
Most women.
Oh my God.
Ever heard
3 minutes
life.
In. I love this. So let's get into the first segment and kick us off with Let's Sync Up. Okay, so we always like to start the pod with one question to get us going. And today's question on the theme of legalization in New York State, what is your craziest drug story? So at first I was thinking, what's your craziest weed story? But my weed stories are not fun at all. It just involves me eating like 15 pounds of Chex Mix while I spiral into like an oblivion.
Yeah. Yeah. Never remembering, like you wake up in the morning, you don't remember eating like every single thing in your kitchen. Yeah, for me too. But when I was in college, I studied abroad and I went to Amsterdam. That was like one of the countries I had to visit because I was a stoner.
Of course, yeah.
And the space cakes are no fucking joke.
Space cakes.
Yeah, they're basically weed brownies, but you can buy them in a cafe. You can buy them like pretty much anywhere.
Damn, my fat ass was like, I do like zebra cakes. I thought it was food, but
is it,
I mean,
is that
it
made
is food,
by Lil Debbie's?
I was like, that sounds pretty good. Like, I thought it was like a cosmic brownie.
Pretty much. But I had weed brownies in America, but it's not even on the same level. And prior to me going to Amsterdam, my dad told me this story, which I haven't had the nerve to ask him if he was high when this happened, which the answer is probably yes. But he told me that there was a village near Amsterdam that was completely made of pancakes. and that he had been there.
Your dad took LSD.
Your dad took LSD. Fucking, your dad is some experimental lab at DMT, Stanford in the 70s.
Uh-huh. He legitimately was. Uh-huh. But my thing is, if that was the case, why would he have told me that? You know what I mean? Like, why would he have told me there was a village?
Parents like to slip little hints to you every so often that they were cool.
Right. Well, I didn't take the hint. So I thought there actually was a village.
So you looked for the pancake village while you took the space cake?
I took the space cake. It hit. And then I was out all night looking for this pancake village. I took a train.
Do you remember this or are you blacked out?
Bits and pieces.
Were you alone or were you with other?
I was with a friend.
Yeah. Oh, one friend.
She was, nobody else would go with me. Right. There was like a group of maybe four or five of us, but they weren't looking for the pancake village, but I needed to find it.
Okay.
And, never found it.
So what was it? The houses were made of pancakes, real pancakes, or?
He told me that he ate through the wall of an elementary school.
Okay, so.
Your dad was part of MK Ultra. Your dad was on getting fucking waterboarded in a room.
And Guantanamo Bay. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
And you know what? Even though I know that something like that must have been.
Like, I have to fulfill my family legacy.
Right. I think he just went to IHOP. Yeah. And he was like, this one's a school.
Uh-huh. I think he must have been on something, and maybe he was at a restaurant that specialized in pancakes, maybe it had a wall that was like fake pancake decals or something he was remembering incorrectly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. For some reason, I just took it at face value. And
how old were you?
Fuck.
Yeah, you were high as fuck.
For what reason?
When did he tell you about the pancake village?
He told me like a little bit before I left.
Oh, before you left for Amsterdam?
Yes.
Interesting.
So your dad's like sending you on a grail quest.
Yeah.
It was very like, I felt like Zelda a little bit, like trying to find it. I was also, you know, we had limited access to internet, but I did Google it. There was an internet cafe. This is how old I am. But there was an internet cafe, and I typed in like Pancake Village, and I actually did find an address. So it was me trying to find this pancake village.
I love security footage of you in this internet cafe. Yeah. You like wandering around. It's like that hotel. You know that Hotel Cecil documentary? Have you guys seen that?
Barely.
But basically, there's a girl who dies in this like sketchy hotel, and they have all these footage of her in the elevator, like shaking and like moving around. I feel like
kept mentioning the pancake village.
She was looking for it too.
She's dead now.
So. Enjoy.
Yeah.
But you know, if it exists, I'll find it one day.
Yeah. It's very elusive.
How long were you blacked out for?
Like 8 hours. I don't know. It was such a long time, and it was so different than any experience I ever had.
Yeah. Okay, so we got the pancake house, Amsterdam. That's very cool. That's a very cool story.
Oh, thanks.
I've never studied abroad. Mm-hmm. So my story is salvia, which is a drug that you're not supposed to really do. And only as of this year am I starting to get into like drugs again because of how this affected me so badly.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh my god.
For so many years I was like, I'm not fucking with shrooms. I've seen what those things do to me. And people were just like, no, you just took salvia.
Salvia's like lighter fluid. It's like, what is it?
I don't know. I was 19 and I was a guy's girl.
Maddie, you have gasoline.
When I think of salvia, I just think of that video of Miley Cyrus on salvia. Do you remember that?
There is a video of Miley Cyrus on salvia. I forgot what happened.
It was the first scandalous thing. Like, she was still a Disney girl at the time.
Was that the one
where
she hit a bong?
Yes.
On camera?
But she said it was salvia. So maybe it wasn't really salvia, because salvia
was
legal.
It was like the Bill Clinton, I didn't inhale.
Right.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of, that's our Y2K version of that.
Yeah.
Salvia was legal. That's the thing.
That's why.
Yeah, so all these kids are just like, well, cool. I just want to do a drug. Yeah. So let's get it. I got this fucking note. Uh-huh. So I was obviously in freshman year of college and didn't know myself. So I was behind a building smoking weed, as you do when you're a freshman in college, even though no one's you smoke in the dorm and they're like, they can smell it, take that into the shower and put the dryer, what's the dryer sheet in the vent.
Dumb shit like
smoking with the shower on. So we would go behind the building, so I ended up
trash bag.
And it's fucking upstate New York, so it's middle of winter,
yeah,
bumfuck freezing cold, and of course you end up with like a guy in your your hall who you kind of know but always is blackout, so is not a trustworthy wingman.
Nope. Yeah.
And then you're with like five other guys. And why was I always with a bunch of men smoking? Because
it's almost like they wanted something from you.
Yeah, it's weird. Oh. Anyway, we can talk about that part later. Yeah. So I'm behind this wall. There's a man named Teddy. There's a man named Neil. There's a guy who is named Udi, who grew up in an ashram.
Udi, yeah.
Run for cover. Uh-huh. And we're smoking regular, like out of a crusty bowl, as yeah. weed. And sure. I'm like already high. And then someone's like, I got this, like, salvia, guys, if you want to try it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
in a parking lot,
what's
man.
That? And uh-huh. I'm like,
in my head, I'm like, show them you're cool. Come yeah. on.
I can yeah. do anything. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's new Maddie. I'm like an hour away from my hometown. I'm like, new year, new me. Mm-hmm. And they put the salvia in, and they, of course, I'm coerced into puffing it first.
Okay.
Because men love to see how drugs impact sure. other people. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, you do it, and then I'm in line behind you.
It's pretty smart.
Yeah, man. Love Maddie the guinea pig.
That's why they rule pig. The world. Yes. Ladies.
This is why I didn't have a boyfriend until a year ago. Mm-hmm. So I take a hit of the salvia. It's literally like purple smoke, and it comes. I'm already high, by the way. And when I got high when I was 19, it wasn't fun. It was like I did it because I thought we were supposed to, and I spiraled. Because you get too high
yeah.
when you're young. High. And yeah. I used to black out too. So yeah. it was the same thing. I would take so many hits, and then I'd be like, I'm with a bunch of men and I don't feel safe, but dude, I have a smile plastered onto my face.
Somebody convinced me, if you talk about guys, girls, somebody convinced me that if you put booze in bong water and you drink the bong water, you will get drunk and high at the same time.
That makes me want to shower.
So I drank Jack Daniel's THC infused.
Yeah, oh infused.
Bong water. So if anyone knows, being yes. like, yeah, I totally know how to drink bong.
Totally. The yeah. things we were doing.
Dude.
And now I don't even blow my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's paying for our sins.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that funny? Like when yeah. you're 20, you'll do literally anything. And at this point, it's like you need to do so
hey,
much
your boyfriend
for
shaving your pussy
yeah, yeah for nothing in return.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yes. And so yeah, I used to like lead men's approval, and I'm like, you need my approval, bitch. Now yeah. I'm like, I already like guilty until proven innocent.
100%.
So I puff down the salvia, purple smoke comes out of my mouth, and immediately everyone turns into like hexagons. Like there's floating heads in
that's
front of my
so
face.
Fucking scary.
And I'd never done drugs before. I've like barely drank, like only had been like super high like four times, but this was like next level. I'm like stepping back. I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. Your face is like, I'm seeing faces everywhere. And you know what made it worse was dudes being like, what, Maddie? What? Like, dude, tell us what's happening.
No.
And you're just like, I don't know you people. And I'm wearing a mini skirt in 40 degree, like 30 degree weather. And then it made it worse. And because I was high, they had to like, carry me up a hill back to the dorm room. Like, they're like, Maddie, come on. And I'm like, you don't understand. I'm seeing like faces in front
of
me.
Are you like losing spatial awareness?
I'm losing spatial awareness. Yeah. There's like it's like a honeycomb around me of like people's faces.
Fuck.
And I'm like,
oh,
and
shit.
To this day, Teddy is like, I'm seeing faces. Bitch.
Like the most traumatic experience of my life.
I went to another dimension.
Yes, I went to another dimension. And then no one smoked it after that. After I had to look like a fucking asshole in front of the whole group.
Oh, nobody else took a hit?
No one. Only one other person did. And he was just like, he was raised in an ashram, so his brain is built differently than
sure.
ours. And he was
yeah.
just like, I tripped a little bit. And I'm like, fuck you. I was raised in the suburbs. My brain was not meant for this.
Yes, you're on the ceiling.
I was on the ceiling. And yeah. because I had gotten high before it, I did not feel normal until I woke up the next day. Like all night I was like doing this on my bed, like when
that's
will it
the
ever
worst
go
part.
Away yes
the am trip. I gonna be high forever
am I gonna be high forever
Ugh.
I feel really weird, and then you wake up and you're like, what the fuck happened?
But that could have gone so much worse for you.
I know, it
with all those
so
guys
much,
at the yeah. side of a building
mm-hmm. side of a building. Luckily the guys at the core of it are fucking not date rapists or anything
yeah, sure.
like that, so they were able to carry me home. But the fact that they like made me do it first,
yeah.
like laughed at me later for it, I'm like, bitch, you keep this quiet and you put a bow on it and you never open it
mm-hmm.
again. But of course, haunted to this day, like, there's Maddie
Did you not ever, have you not like done drugs really since then?
Not really. I like smoke weed and stuff.
Yeah.
But I actually stopped smoking weed at the end of college and only recently am I getting more into it.
Yeah.
Because I want to fucking relax and get the edge off. And I have to take like tiny amounts at a time.
It's scary.
It's scary. And then everyone for all my 20s was like, do shrooms. And I like keep remembering the salvia
everyone
experience.
Everyone with the fucking shrooms, dude.
Everyone with the fucking shrooms. And then any other drug.
Yeah. Nah.
Anyway, Andrew, what do we got?
Holy boy. So my story is a shroom story. And I've only done shrooms one time. And I did like, you know, the sacred white girl journey of going to a music festival with my bitches.
Yeah.
And I went to a music festival called Shambhala. Shout out to Shambhala.
Wow. It's such a good name.
It's perfect.
For a festival.
It's in Canada, which is where I'm from. And it's like in the woods. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the festivals are like in the desert, Burning Man. This is like tree houses and like little villages.
Okay.
It's really cool.
Not bad.
It's cool. Like good music. It's too, I can't be in festivals for more than like 3-4 days. I'm like, I don't want to see a pair of fucking fuzzy ears.
No.
I'm gonna throw up. I need to take a shower.
One day for me. Yep. I'm a one day pass kind of gal.
Yes, and you're correct. So I went with like my bitches, my Canadian bitches, and we were there for a week.
Too long.
Way to a camper van.
No.
Like porta potties. No. All the stuff.
UTI.
Like,
no, yes, I can't.
Yes, dude. God, the cranberry pills were ready.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even think
yes.
of that.
Yes. God, my vagine pack is ready. I've got it all.
You have to come with the antibiotics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Already in the system. Yeah. Get an IV bag and fucking get ready to go.
Yeah.
So I go in and we all take shrooms and I smoke weed at this point, but I'm not drinking. I don't drink. So already there's kind of this weird like self-consciousness about everyone's so fucked up.
Definitely.
And like I'm high, but I'm not like, how's the fuck? You know what I mean? And we see a guy that we knew in high school, and he's in the corner wearing a silk bathrobe. And his hair's like all greasy.
Oh my gosh.
And he's just like dancing like by himself and like really feeling himself.
Yeah.
And he looked bad. He looked really bad. And I knew that this guy's brother had died of an overdose.
Oh.
So like that's what like I was like, oh, your brother died of an overdose. Here you are. You're wearing a fucking bathrobe.
Yeah.
You're tripping balls. It's not a good look. So I started to get like really anxious seeing this guy, right? And then I'm like, all right, I got to get, fuck this. Like I got to get out of here. So I go with my friend and I was on mushrooms and all of my friends were on Molly, which is such a fucking stupid.
It's a bad mix.
Page one mistake.
Yeah.
Those two are not like at all complimentary trips.
If you're on Molly, it's like given that you're going to be away from out of office for the next 12 hours.
Yep. Talk. And like, so my friend who's on Molly, she like, did you guys have a female friend in high school who was like your best friend but also bullied you? I don't know if you guys had this.
I think we were all just like kind of mean to each other.
Yeah, my best friend was a bully, but she didn't bully me because I co-signed her bullshit.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Judas.
Yeah. We were like mean to each other. We would be like, what are you wearing? And we didn't realize it would affect us for the rest of our lives type of thing.
That we'd be, you know, taking salvia hits to impress dudes.
Literally.
Because of all the bullying.
Yeah, and they'd be like, Maddie has a pimple. But now me and my girlfriends would never.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, now we're all like, you're perfect. You look amazing.
You're kidding, girl, right? Own your acne.
You're honest. If he doesn't lick your acne, then he's a predator.
Yes. If he doesn't shave your pussy.
Well, I still maintain that.
No, I'm about to make him
it's
go
respect.
Fucking do it.
Yeah,
it's respect.
It's a gangster move. So she was like, she would bully me, and we've talked about it, and like she has this guilt over it, and I get it, but she was on Molly, so she felt like she had to like... unload this guilt on me, and I'm already on shaky ground.
Yes.
I saw the guy with the bathrobe.
Totally.
I'm like really not in a good spot.
The guy in the bathroom.
And she's like, I'm so sorry, I bullied you in high school. And like the problem is like, you know, I can be like, it's fine, but then I'm like comforting her for how she hurt my feelings. So I'm like walking this really weird line with her, just being like,
so uncomfortable.
It's
so
fine.
Uncomfortable.
I mean, it actually like kind of isn't. And like,
I
had really low self-esteem and like, you didn't really help that. But also I see that you did that because you had low self-esteem. And
but you don't even have the language
to
say that when you're on mushrooms.
It's like a nuanced conversation. So
that's a coffee shop at 3 p.m.
Yes.
conversation.
Yes.
That's why I don't like like when people get drunk and then try to have serious conversations. Dude,
no, not at fucking all. Because then you're just like,
that's a fucking email. This is emotional labor that I'm doing when I'm fucking high off my gourd. So my other friend kind of like saw this conversation happening and she swooped in and was like, let's go to the gong circle. She was like trying to trying to like repair this clearly dysfunctional situation. So we go to the gong circle and like, it's just, it's like 10 huge like standing gongs in a circle and people sit in the middle of it. And then like this woman, there was a woman, I think she was wearing like a diaper. Like these festival people are like, they're triggering. They look so fucked up and you're fucked up. So she's all like, get in the circle. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to get in the circle.
It's also like their lifestyle. Like for you, it's kind of like Halloween. Like we're getting dressed up and we're going to a music festival. But for burners, or I guess not burners, Shyamalaners, their lifestyle.
This is like who you are as a person. Right. And like,
I see.
It's upsetting for me to see it. She looks 100%. Like she's on meth.
Yeah.
I get inside the gong and they hit the gongs all at the same time. Oh. So like the idea is like the sound is like reverbing into your ears and like you're reaching a spiritual, but I am freaking the fuck out. Yeah. I'm also like, I feel uncomfortable with this friend. Now I'm in the circle. There's all these loud noises. There's a lady that I really don't like. Yeah. And then like bathrobes echoing in my head.
Yes.
So I'm like, I gotta get out. Like I'm like running out of the gong circle.
Gotta get out.
Okay, so now I'm like feral. Like now I'm like out on the land, just like.
Yes.
And my friend who.
This is literally Midsommar.
Yes.
This is the plot of Midsommar.
I'm so lucky I'm not dead. So my friend who had like apologized for me for bullying was like, let's go to the beach. Because there was this like river kind of beach place. I'm like, okay.
I don't trust her.
You shouldn't. So she takes me to the beach and like we're sitting there and she just goes like, so she had a fiance at the time that we all hated. Horrible
one.
Guy. Like their relationship was really tumultuous. She got engaged to him and we were all like, you know what I mean? Like we're going to be your bridesmaids, but we don't like this guy.
Right.
There's always this like big tension around this dude because he wasn't like mentally very well. So like that's one thing, but also like I also didn't like him as a hang. Do you know what I mean? It was like not only are you not like a safe space for my friend, you're also like a bummer to be around.
You have to be one.
Yeah.
If you're gonna be a dick, you gotta be fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Like if you're gonna be not fun, she has to at least love you and feel safe.
Dude,
around
yes. Yes. It was like just a nope across the board.
Oh my gosh.
So she's like, and I knew she was kind of like getting it. They were engaged, but I could sense she was kind of like, I don't know if I want to be with this guy. Mm-hmm. So she goes to me like, I don't know. First she goes, I know you don't like my fiance. And I'm like, oh, great. Because now, again,
I'm on shrooms.
Dude.
How do you say, no. What?
He's fucking great.
I love the guy.
He's cool,
And like, I'm like, this is such a delicate fucking conversation because this is my moment to be like, hey, man, I actually don't think he's great for you. But also, I don't want to be like, fuck him.
Yeah.
Because if you say fuck him, then you're the friend that says fuck him. You know what I mean?
Totally.
It's just like this conundrum. And then she goes, I don't think I want to marry him. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And she goes, because he's an alcoholic and I don't want to have kids with him. And I'm like, oh my
God.
God, this is like.
Did you know he was an alcoholic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The kids thing is.
Boy. Yuck.
Yeah.
Was he on the trip with
you?
No,
he wasn't on the trip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But so that empowered her.
Yes, to do this. So I'm like, this is a great moment. I'm so excited that you're like saying this to me. Also, I'm about to shit in my pants.
In my pants. I wish I was the woman with the diaper.
Yes, exactly. I thought I was going to a safer space. Yes. I was going to a much less
safe
space.
I'm at a fucking beach.
Dude,
yes.
It's fucking Leonardo DiCaprio, the beach. There's sharks. There's this big, weird, like, emotional thing that I don't know how to handle correctly. And my other friend, God bless her, Sarah Titley. Shout out to Sarah Titley.
That's her last name?
Yes. Huge
big
jugs.
Tits.
Angel.
Oh,
angel
but her last name is not actually Titley.
No, her name is Titley.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sarah Titley.
That's a woman I want to meet.
Oh, you would love her.
No, honestly, that would be devastating if your name was Titley and you didn't have tits.
100%.
Rough. So she like saw that we were at the beach. She was like my guardian angel. Yeah. So she saw that we were at the beach and she could like sense, like her tits could sense that like something was wrong.
I'm loving Sarah Titley. This best. Is a woman I want to know.
She's the best. She's so high on Molly, okay? But she knows that like something needs to be done. So I see her kind of like, you know when people are on drugs and they're kind of like falling everywhere?
Yeah.
Like they've got like the limp arms.
The raptor
like,
arms.
Yeah, they're like little deer like falling everywhere.
Drunk women too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So she's wearing like hot shorts and her tits are out and she's like, hey, you know. She's walking towards me and I'm like, oh, thank God. But because she's on Molly, she gets sick, but she doesn't want to stop. So she's continuing to walk. She turns her head, throws up.
Oh.
Keeps walking.
Hell yeah.
Like in motion. She's just like, I got business to do. Bleh, you know, keeps going, gets me and is like, hey man, like, you know, she kind of like ushers the friend away from me and kind of gives me my space. Now I think I'm alone. I can't really remember. But basically like the train of thought had gone from like, okay, so my friend and her fiance love each other and want to make it work, but they keep hurting each other. And then it moved into like, people just like can't help hurting each other. Like, why are we so cruel to even when we love each other?
Yeah,
we
now
can't.
You turn into the Beatles, the late stage Beatles.
No, yes, fully, you know, I'm going like deeper into these tunnels of thought. And then I'm like, people are capable of such hurt and such pain. And then I started thinking about the Holocaust.
Oh, this no.
Always
don't do
where
that.
I go. Always
don't
where I go.
Don't do that.
Even with the slightest amount of weed, it's always like right to that. I cannot resist it.
Don't do that.
Dude, I'm like, they made lamps out of their skin. Like, this is humanity. We don't deserve to live.
You know how like your best friend's mom would say sugar instead of shit? You need to change Holocaust to something else. So you associate it with a different
censor
word.
Censor.
Yes.
It.
Hologram.
Holographic.
Holoback girl. Anything.
Thank you.
Yes. Like, so I'm in the Holocaust spiral and now I'm in the woods. I don't know how I got to the woods.
Okay.
But I was lost in the woods. Just like.
What are you, Kanye West?
Yes. I am bipolar.
Why
so.
Did they leave you alone?
I think I wandered off.
Yeah.
Like, I think Sarah was vomiting on herself and, like, calming Annie down.
And you were like, here's my opening.
Here's my, I'm going to get out, man.
Yeah, and by that point of the night, when everyone's on drugs, you don't even know.
No.
Yeah. You don't know. You don't know how you got to the pancake house. You don't know.
Yeah.
No clue.
How
no
you
clue.
Got to Holocaust Forest. So I'm in Holocaust Forest just, like, shaking and thinking and, like, this is Canadian woods. Like, this is not a fucking cute little park.
Mm-mm. It's the Revenant.
Right, and, like, there's no markers on the trees or...
No.
They don't got porta potties.
Nope. Oh, no. So I'm wandering. I was wandering around in the forest for, like, what felt like 4 or 5 hours. And it was nighttime now at this point.
Wow.
Okay, so I was missing for, like, at least 2 hours.
Shoes on? No shoes on?
No shoes on.
Oh, Jesus.
No shoes on.
Wow.
Glitter, bodysuit with no bra. My tits are freezing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, do you ever get so, like, I wouldn't die, but I was lost, like, in the actual woods. Do you know what I mean?
You could die.
I could have died.
Yeah.
And I had this moment being like, if you don't find... like
you're gonna die
in the Holocaust.
You're gonna be in the Holocaust.
Some serial killer is just waiting for you.
That girl's fiance is gonna come find you.
He fucking knew that I betrayed him.
Oh my god. Yeah.
So I eventually found my way to like a ranger station. And I was like, all like, hey, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we can use our like ranger phones to call your friends.
Yeah, I would hope the rangers could help.
Yes.
Yeah. Do they have any trail mix or what? Do they have any food?
Nothing on them.
What the fuck?
But they
bullshit.
I will say this, Shambhala does have drug testing stations because people get so fucked up there that they want to test things for like fentanyl and things like that before you take them.
Oh.
So they are able to like help you out in that way.
Yeah.
But this was just like woods, you know, like the regular. And they were like, you know, we can call your friends, but like, we need a phone number. And I'm like, I don't know anyone's phone number.
I know my mom's and that's it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm not calling my mom.
No,
hey, mom.
Fucking no.
My tits are out. I'm in the woods.
I got no shoes on.
I'm thinking about humans experimenting on other humans.
Yes.
And for some by some miracle, I remembered one of my friend's cell phone numbers, mm-hmm. and they called her, and she was like just falling asleep. She somehow magically woke up. They had been looking for me.
Wow.
They were looking for me the whole time, mm-hmm. and like they were all like crying and being like, "We thought we lost Andrea." Like it was such a tragedy. The minute I finally was like guided to their van, yeah. I was just like,
yeah,
I've never been happier in my whole fucking life.
1,000,000%.
It's so crazy.
So my question is: is she still with the guy?
No,
yay! That's all that matters.
Dude. Mission accomplished.
Yeah,
engaged. Actually, now married to a new guy.
Oh, great!
Who's like a wonderful dude. Oh. Like it was. It was kind of like, you know, I guess in a way, like these drug trips are a good way to like look at your life if you're not introspective. And I think it did help her to be like, this is not what I want.
Totally.
Me, though.
I'm the kind of person who I'm like, I'm pretty sure if I was in a situation I didn't want to be in, I didn't need drugs to do that.
Yeah, sure.
But I love what it can do for some people who need that awakening.
But don't drag me into it, dude. I'm not in your awakening. Yeah,
that was inappropriate.
Yes. Wow. So that's a crazy story. So I feel like we're synced up.
Yeah, baby.
Baby. I was on the edge of my seat for that story.
It was rough, man.
And now I want pancakes.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good. Let's move on to our next segment, mm-hmm. called Maddie Libs. Okay, so for this segment, I have three headlines, mm-hmm. Stories of celebs from the week, and we're just going to fill them in with some funny little verbs and stuff.
Let's do it.
And then we'll read the headline,
mm-hmm. tight,
and then we'll gossip about what happened. Okay, right. So for this one, I need a bodily function.
Fart.
Okay. And I need an app, a social media app.
Instagram.
Okay, love it. And then I also need a negative comment that you often see, like on the internet.
Slut.
Oh, nice. Now I need an elite activity, something you associate with rich people.
Fencing?
Yes.
Oh, so
and weird. Then I need a rich neighborhood or town or place.
Scarsdale.
Oh.
Whoa, specific.
Specific to Emily.
Yeah,
okay.
Someone comes from a little quiche.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one's about Lena Dunham. Love to see it, love to hate it, and love to love it, whatever you're feeling. So
that was a political fucking dance you just did.
I'm like, save yourself. I don't know you're how like, you guys feel.
Body pauses?
I feel fine about her.
Okay, so this one says, Lena Dunham, creator of Girls, and known for oversharing her farts on Instagram.
Accurate.
Funny.
Not true.
Accurate, yeah.
Is starting a plus size clothing line. Critics are saying, slut, and go back to fencing in Scarsdale.
It's actually like so accurate.
It's amazing.
This one's mostly based on what people say about her. I mean, like on Twitter, everyone was like, she molested her sister and she's still in the news. And I never read the memoir, so I don't really know what happened. But
I
people
didn't either,
hate
but it
her
was,
so much.
It was something about her putting rocks up her sister's pussy or something.
I mean, I feel like...
I feel bad for laughing, but that I would never put a rock up my pussy. I'm going to throw that out there right now.
I think it was more like, you know, when you're really little and you're curious about body parts. Like, it's not...
I thought they were both kids.
Yeah. They were.
And people were like, you molested your
like a rock
sister.
Dildo, yeah.
I would like, if I was her editor, I would just say, let's take this part out.
Yeah, let's...
Do we need it?
For sure. No, you know she fought for it to
but
be in
there.
But
knowing Lena Dunham, blah, 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 I think it should be in there.
Totally.
So,
I need to show that girls have, you know, impure minds too.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And sometimes we put rocks in our Yep, so we got Lena Dunham. All right, let's go to our next headline. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this one's a little risque. Give me a high number, very high number.
69.
Oh. Wait, can you do higher?
6969.
Oh, 6,696. Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. 6969. This one's recent news event.
Legalization of weed?
In New York State?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, I'm like, stop.
No, I cannot help it. I'm sorry.
And then this last one says something you say when you're confronted. I think that's what it says. Something you say when you're confronted and but you like
fuck off.
Get your name out of my mouth or get my name out of your mouth.
Get my name out of your mouth. Okay. So this one's about Cher.
Oh, Cher.
I love Cher.
Yeah.
She gets kind of batty on the internet, though.
It's when these women, not women, but just like older celebrities, and she's all a mega caps. Star.
She's been famous forever.
Yeah. Oh, does she go a little nuts on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
She's crazy on Twitter. It's like all caps, crazy emojis. So it's like, why would you ever take anything she says with any sort of offense?
Yeah, yeah.
So this one says, Cher is under fire this week for tweeting her take on the Derek Chauvin trial.
No.
Celebrities, they're just like us. I'll tell you what the tweet was, but Cher, who is now 6,969 years old and doesn't remember the legalization of weed in New York State, said back, get my name out of your mouth. So Cher this week said something along the lines of, I just know that if I was there in Minneapolis, I could have saved George.
Oh, Cher, no. God, no.
She said, it breaks my heart. If I was there, I could have saved him.
That's classic. The worst thing about it is that you're making it entirely about yourself. 100%. It's kind of like, do you remember when Justin Bieber went to the Anne Frank house and he wrote, I know she would have been a believer?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
that was a hot one.
Honestly, you gotta get yourself out there.
Yeah. This is one of the few times when not everything revolves around you.
And
I know it's crazy to you.
And it's crazy to you.
Uh-huh.
And also, there was people there who wish they could have as well, who were literally there.
Okay, counterpoint though. Could Cher have
hot
stopped
pod.
It? Okay.
Right.
Let's analyze it.
She comes in, she says, do you believe in life after love?
Yes.
No, she comes
what
in.
What am I
and
supposed to do?
Sit around and wait for
yeah, exactly.
Right.
To take your fucking.
If she came in, she could turn some heads. What if she turned all the heads of all the cops?
I'm saying if I was a racist cop murdering an unarmed black man and then Cher flies in, I'm going to turn my head for a second.
I'm going to go ahead and say that, and this is another counterpoint, Derek Chauvin does not know who Cher is. That if you put 10 women on, I wouldn't be able to pick out Cher.
Right, like he knows the name Cher.
Everyone knows the name Cher,
but if Cher was standing right there, he might not even know.
He wouldn't be able to know the difference between Lena Dunham, Cher, and...
And I think that is another reason he should be in prison.
Yes, the main reason.
Thank you for saying that's the main reason. I'm about to call that trial. Yeah, I honestly think any sort of take on this, if you're not well, is probably not productive.
Yeah.
But then again, she is not well, so don't even consider it anything that you should take offense to.
Well, people that are that famous, like, you know, the people that have been told they're God for like the last 20 years, they can't, you can't even give them a minute of your time because like they're just, I once worked for a designer because I worked in fashion who got so big headed that like, he didn't know how to take money out of an ATM. Like people would do
that
for him.
Oh, that is my goal.
Yeah, agree.
Wow.
But like once you've reached like no money out of an ATM brain, like you can't understand how the world works.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And I think the celebrities need to make it be known that you're out of touch.
Yes. They need their own Twitter.
That's the best idea you've ever had.
Why are their managers not giving them fake Twitter and being like, this is where you tweet and then just into a void.
Wait, that's so true.
That's
because
so
they don't know.
They don't know where they are.
Donald Trump didn't know.
No.
Yeah.
It's like Raya. Like Raya is for famous people. We need something other than
Have
Twitter.
Have a bot that likes it so they think it's happening.
It looks like Twitter.
Yes.
Same thing with Instagram. Sometimes people are uploading stuff and it's like, no,
dude,
honey.
Put it down. Clean it up.
Clean up the phone.
It's like bumpers on a bowling alley, but for social media.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude, you have a team behind you and this still got out?
No, like, who's stopping you?
Yes.
I would be slapping the phone out of her
hand
every day.
My only goal as someone in entertainment is to potentially make it and have me never touch a phone.
Yes.
I don't want to be on.
That's the goal.
I want to be on social media. I don't want to be on.
Someone run it for me.
For me.
Tweet the appropriate responses to things.
I think Mindy Kaling has that because on Twitter, she'll have like something uploaded and there will be like a recent event that everyone talking about on Twitter. And then Mindy's just like, so excited to join Swiffer as a brand.
Yes, see?
And it's like right in the middle of like, a shooting or something.
I need a sponsorship bot.
Yes, I need a sponsorship bot. I need someone to have me on Hootsuite.
Yes.
And just like, no, I'm not touching a phone.
Have me talking about skin cream, whatever you need.
Con.
Yes. Tina Fey, your life up. Jennifer Aniston, I agree.
Yes.
So the share thing. thing is like, also get off your phone.
Oh, share.
Get off your, and you know she's using it like this. Yes. One finger.
No, she's on her iPad.
She's on her iPad with the glasses down the nose.
Oh, and she thinks this is gonna like blow up. Like she thinks this is like such a heroic. It's like white heroic bullshit.
Yeah, like she thinks that's nice. Like she thinks saying, I wish I could have been there to help is a nice thing.
White savior stuff.
Totally.
White savior stuff, for sure. Anyway, okay, last Mad Lib. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we just need a bunch of actors. Give me an actor.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, good one. Really good one. And another one?
Matthew McConaughey.
Okay, nice. And then one more.
Male or either?
A male actor, yeah.
Okay. Jonah Hill.
Okay, cool. Ooh. My pen's not working, but I can remember. Okay. Last headline. Kate Winslet is in the news today. Casually told the UK Times, I can think of four. Is she British?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's in the news. She's like, she casually told the UK Times, I can think of four actors absolutely hiding their sexuality. Ooh. So she's going off on
bitch. Outing people.
I said that. It's not your tale to tell.
Yeah.
No.
And between Tom Cruise and Matthew McConaughey, I'll let you fill in the blank, she said. Jonah Hill has yet to provide commentary.
Dude, you nailed it with Tom Cruise right there.
Oh, no, actually.
Who? Matthew McConaughey, I think, is purely straight. Yeah. And I want to think that because I want to fuck him.
He's so sexy.
So
I
hot.
Think he's disgusting.
What?
I can't stand Matthew McConaughey.
He's so hot.
He's Although, covered in oil.
He is very oily.
All the time.
I will say, since he started a podcast, I'm like, no.
He has his positivity.
I know. I do hate the positive. It's very much like John Krasinski.
Yes.
From The Office. People are like, oh my God, I love. No, not for me.
Matthew McConaughey, it looks like he's dipped in oil all the time. Yeah. I hate his hair. It's always so stringy.
I know, it's true.
God. And
I like his hair.
I like his hair too.
Ugh, I'm like the only woman on the planet that feels this way.
Yeah.
And also like he has this like live, love, laugh, corny branding that he does. He sells t-shirts.
You know, I will say, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I've ever heard him talk not in a movie.
Only as of like within the last few years has he become more of like an influencer.
Right. Yeah.
And it's
right.
like, shut up.
Yeah.
Stake in your movies.
Yes.
Be mysterious.
He's an excellent actor, but he I feel like he'd be the weird. I feel like he is that
up.
Guy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All right. Totally. All right.
What do you guys, drink? Oh, you got the PBR. Yeah. Nice. Cool. Yeah.
Which I also like.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet.
That's wild.
Honestly, like we all know it. We don't need you. You, the white woman, again,
white ladies
coming out and saying, and it's like, we know that people are out there hiding their sexuality.
Yeah.
Sean fucking Mendes, like all these artists, since the dawn of ages, they have been.
Yeah, Liberace was straight, okay.
Ooh, tell it to my fucking mouth,
yeah.
All right, if people say that. So, I was like, you don't need to be the one.
That's really fucked up.
No, it's rude as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was going off on like how Hollywood forces you to be someone else. And
yeah, but you don't de-closet a person.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Social justice warriors with millions of dollars.
Right.
It's such a bad look.
Who was she actually talking about?
She wasn't talking about anyone specifically. She just went off on how everyone has to hide their sexuality. And she said, right now I could name four people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, do it then.
But I won't because I'm a saint.
But
yeah,
I won't.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have them on speed dial.
Name names.
Yeah. I'm just like, okay, they've made that decision and they're allowed. It's also like shaming them for not coming out to the world too. But maybe they have a nice, quiet, private, secret life that they enjoy. Maybe they don't want to be.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know this, but there's like this huge undercover people analyzing Taylor Swift's lyrics and thinking that she's gay.
Kylie Kloss, yeah.
And yes, and I'm always like, I personally think that if she was gay, she would just be gay. Like, I don't see her being in the generation that she's in, and also based on how she acts with other issues, like, I would just think that she would be out. But if she is gay, and if there are all these Easter eggs in all her songs, just leave them be.
Leave them be. She owes you nothing.
Nothing.
It's true.
I just don't want to hear about morality, identity politics, race issues from anyone who is a millionaire. I just don't think.
Yeah. I'm like, Kate, you're fine.
Yes.
The rest of them are fine. Let's talk about other people who get beat up for being gay.
Talk about how fun it is to be rich. That's what I want my celebrities to do. Yes. I want pouring show champagne me your on your tits.
Bring back MTV Cribs. That's all we ask of you guys. Stop trying to be, and especially this past year, they've been trying to be like us. Philanthropists. Like, you're not like us at all. Philanthropists, they're doing funny videos. The Imagine video was incredibly alarming. All of you need to take a back seat to what's happening right now. Okay, well, that's our Maddie Lib segment, and now let's get into the topics. We got sweatpants, we got weed. Let me ask you guys, post-pandemic aesthetic, what are we looking at?
I don't want to wear loungewear anymore.
I agree with Emily. We were talking about before the pod. Surprisingly enough, I'm done with the sweatpants.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, pre-pandemic, I would be out in sweatpants every day of the week.
On a Friday. You catch me at a Friday show.
Yes. Oh, I've seen you.
You see me wearing a big tee and what up? It doesn't matter. I still got jokes.
Yeah.
Something during the pandemic flipped and I was like, nah, we're taking care of our image now.
I think clothing becomes aspirational and that's how people sell it, you know? So I think during the pandemic, we were all at home, so loungewear became like aspirational, and now you see like all these brands popping up selling like $150 sweatpants,
tie-dye cashmere loungewear.
Like, let's make it cute, let's make it fashion, whatever. So that became aspirational, but now for me personally, other things are aspirational. Yeah. I don't want to be lounging anymore. I've lounged enough.
I have lounged the shit out of my life. And
I've lounged a year away.
I've lounged a year away. And that whole year was supposed to be for the next 30 years of lounging.
Yes.
You did it all in 1 year.
Condensed.
And you will not catch me in a sweatsuit out and about unless it's like a fire jogger.
Yes.
With some Air Force Ones. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like streetwear. But in terms of like the looks before, I think I'm advancing out of them.
Yeah. Well, I think like, I also think I've turned a corner where I'm taking better care of myself now just because of how scary the pandemic was health-wise. It was like, shit, man, you got to take care of I mean, I had COVID and I was fine.
Right. Yeah.
But still, it was like, oh, this body is like all you fucking got,
all
man.
All you fucking got.
And not in the sense of like, oh my God, I'm getting so skinny. It was like, no, I'm taking care of my health because there was a plague bitch and I don't want to be taken out in the next one, so like I've been fucking taking care of myself, drinking that water, on that Peloton. Shout out to Peloton.
What's up, Peloton? What's up, Alex Toussaint, my favorite instructor?
I love Alex Toussaint.
I'm not a part of this call.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Yeah, and now take the Kool-Aid and we'll all go to Peloton together.
Well, and then we'll go to Shambhala.
Yeah, Shambhala after that.
But also, like, I'm horny as fuck. So I'm like, I'm going to be wearing tight ass fucking clothes.
Yeah.
I look good as hell.
Good as hell.
I'm showing off my body. I'm proud of it. Let's all.
Let's all fuck. I spent the last 10 years hiding my body.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden now I'm like kind of body neutral a little bit. And I'm like, whatever, bitch, you're going to see it all.
Yes.
I'm done with being like, the big shirts make me look small.
Yes. So over that.
So over it. Yeah. Of course, I will occasionally for style purposes.
That's the difference.
Yeah. And they're cool as fuck.
Like, I still love that look. I love streetwear. But for me, like, I just need structure now. Yeah. I need anything that, like, brings that structure back into my universe is what I need.
I got on the train. You guys know me. I'm always wearing a statement coat. I'm always coming in, big coat, fucking glasses, accessories. Like, I worked in fashion. I love fashion. And, like, usually when I get on the train, I'm usually, like, the alpha bitch with the outfit. You know what I mean? Generally speaking. I got on the train the other day, and I was like, there's 10 other ones.
There's 10 alpha bitches.
Yes, and
I've noticed that too.
Oh my God. I was like, look at that tight end, the head. Yes. And then you're wearing a cloak and oh my God. I was like, everyone is out. They're happy to be alive. And they're like, I'm looking good as fuck.
They're dressing every day like they're going to die in those clothes.
They're dressing every day like lockdown is coming.
Yes.
And I'm like, I bought a lot of shit in the quarantine and I will be showing it off.
I'm wearing a thong and a feather boa.
and that's it.
Yes.
that's the whole outfit.
No shoes.
Yes.
No shoes and I'm running through the woods on Molly, on shrooms. I agree. And I was like in the Lower East Side yesterday. Fits were fire as fuck.
So hot.
And you're drawing inspiration.
Yes.
You're like, whoa, Birkenstocks and socks. I'm listening.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Everyone looks so hot in New York City.
I know.
And I also feel like, I mean, there's people who are in couples, obviously, but there's people who have been single and finally now it's like safer. There's the vax. People are out like making out on the streets. People are fucking hammered.
Hammered.
It is.
It's gonna be like fucking Mardi Gras.
It's literally New Orleans right now.
Yes, it is.
And it's awesome.
Yes, Lower Manhattan specifically. Mm-hmm. It's just like everywhere you look, like that's the most beautiful couple I've ever seen, and they're licking each other's faces.
Yes.
And I'm just in the background like, yeah.
Lick away, bitches.
Yes, love is love.
Yeah. Totally. I also feel like when you like even just like put yourself together a little bit when you go somewhere, you're like in a better mood.
Oh, yeah.
It makes such a difference.
Yeah.
It really, really does. Like even if you're just going for a walk down the street, I'll put on an outfit now.
Yes.
Never used to
going
be like
to the
that.
Coffee shop. I'm like, work, get the fuck out of my way.
Where, you go to the coffee shop, come right home and you're like, I did it.
And then you change back into your pajamas.
Yes.
Do you guys feel like, and I've just started like doing shows, kind of like having like full day again in a way.
Yeah.
It is an adjustment.
Oh, it's so weird. Well, this is actually like the first in-person pod recording I've done in some time.
Yeah.
And being on the train, I brought a sandwich on the train like as my lunch, and I just had this flashback to the way that I used to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I used to live this like gypsy lifestyle, always on the move, always like having food in the bag, taking it out. And it's so weird. Like it tires me out so much more now than it used to because I was in such a groove.
I know. I think it'll take a minute.
Yes.
I think it's good to be gentle on yourself and like not, and that's what I was talking about up top. You're already back on the grind, but you can also say no to stuff.
Yes.
You can ease back
don't
in.
Don't do comedy in a church in Long Island.
Don't do comedy in a church on Long Island. Mm-mm. Don't overextend yourself on Ubers.
Yes.
Because if you say, if you say I can't this week, but I can the next, they will say, okay, well, book you on the next.
Did you guys feel like during the pandemic, I mean, obviously it is still technically happening, but like in peak scary pandemic, did you kind of look at like what you did say yes to and things that you had as priorities in your life? Because I definitely was like, no more of this type of show, no more of this type of thing, because you think it's a net gain, but it's actually like bogging you down, or you're not being efficient. You're just, it's spreading too thin. Like, have you changed a little bit?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You look back on like, even as things are reopening, you're like, someone's like, it's 3 hours away, $150. You're like, nope, not happening.
No, and divide that by the time.
Hell fucking no. So you're not, I'm not doing those anymore. And not doing just stuff that'll make me pissed off.
Sure.
That's a good policy.
That's pretty much
Yeah. I got so pissed off yesterday because there was some bullshit. And then I was like, oh, yeah, this is life. When you're out and about, it's bullshit city. It's all the time.
All the time.
I forgot. I'm like on the phone screaming at a customer service person. Yes. And I'm like, oh, we're back.
This
we're
is
back.
What it is.
This is what it is. There's no conflict when you're sitting in your fucking couch.
It's now. So true.
Whew.
It's so true, but I do think that we'll be able to like streamline things a little bit more.
So.
Where there was a lot of clunk, especially when it comes to like stand-up entertainment.
Yes,
a lot of stuff that you're like, but what if I say no? What's gonna happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Right. I actually view it in the opposite way because I'm moving very much away from stand-up now because having that year break where like I wasn't in the game at all. Made me realize that my life is so much better without it.
That's great.
Yeah. And also just like being home, setting my own schedule, being a podcaster, which is like my career.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it changed my mentality a little bit because it made me realize like, yeah, I like stand up. I can do stand up if I want to, but that doesn't have to be the way that I identify myself or my career.
Yeah.
And that's like, that was so freeing to me, just having like that time to slow down and think about that more seriously.
I wish more people did that.
I literally was just gonna say that. I wish more men.
I think they are. I feel like they are.
There's a lot more coming back, and I'm like, why didn't you just let go? You're allowed.
This was your moment.
This was your moment, and they're like coming back stronger than. Or there's like people like, I'm back in the city. Get me on your. I'm like, you were supposed to stay out.
Yes, you had like, your moment.
No one thought about it the way
so
you did.
That's so funny because like. You know, like a bunch of people moved out to Portland, a bunch of people moved out west,
Austin,
like slightly smaller cities. And I didn't think they were coming back. Like when they left, I thought that meant everybody was moving, but then people started coming back.
They're coming back.
I'm like, why?
You didn't deserve it. I've been in New York City since the pandemic.
We've been here the whole time.
The whole time.
7,000 years.
And now you come back and you're like, back in New York, 200 likes, and now you're getting booked? No.
With a nice tan.
Yes.
With a nice tan.
Go fuck yourself.
You got the Austin Tex-Mex body. How fucking dare you?
I was in a bunker in Long Island City, slowly losing my mind. How dare you come back fucking feeling good?
I'm trying not to be resentful.
I have PTSD, motherfuckers.
That's really what it is. PTSD. It's jealousy when it comes down to it. Because I would have loved to just escape to a cabana for a year, you know?
But the whole time you're like, it'll be just another month. I don't want to leave. And then it was 12 months.
I haven't seen my family. I haven't crossed the border in years.
Well, last topic, speaking of comedy. Mm-hmm. Okay, weed is legal in New York.
Yes.
All right, what do we think? Because I was going to get the Canadian perspective from Andrea, because I went to Toronto, and this might just be because Canadians are a happy city. They have health care.
So nice.
Yes. They have a nice income and a hot prime minister. Mm-hmm. So that would have been why the laughs were so great in Toronto.
Yes.
But I was like, this is a weed city. I smoked weed there. Everyone laughs so much. What do we think of New York comedy and how it'll affect it?
Did you smoke weed for the show? Like, was it a weed
themed? I did a weed themed show, and then I went to a show later at the comedy bar that wasn't weed themed, but I was still
high. But you were already high.
So I was like, everyone's high here, but I don't think we were high.
You guys are fucking salvia? What are you doing?
What are you guys on?
Are you hexagons? What's up, hexagons?
I'm seeing faces. There's heads everywhere.
We're probably the perfect people to talk to about this because we used to do an edibles themed show.
Yes.
Oh.
We did it. Yeah, we did it for like a year maybe.
R.I.P.
And we would give the comics edibles an hour before the show. The bad thing about this was that you would need to come super early because for it to digest.
Yeah. Totally.
But then when the comics were doing their sets, we would plan these elaborate pranks.
I love it.
Yes.
And try to throw them off their game type of thing. And it was really funny.
It was the best show.
But I have to say,
the
pranks made the show.
Yeah. Oh,
like if it was just comics up on stage telling their jokes butt high, I really don't think it makes anybody better at comedy.
Christina Galston tripping balls, us throwing firecrackers at her. We had a green cake fight.
Yeah.
We got cake all
everywhere.
Over the velvet curtain
in my pussy.
And we were there cleaning it up until the sun rose.
Oh,
what's
my
up?
God, that
yeast infection.
Awful. Yeah.
We made giant dicks that we like sprayed silly string out of. It was like bonkos, like pranky stuff.
Definitely more than just the weed.
For sure. Like,
yes.
I think like stand up, I hate performing high. I don't like performing well under any influence because I'm not sharp. And I'm always like, you guys know I'm hot. Like that, I always do that.
Hate.
But high
for me, I'm like just more chatty and I can meander. But if I try to rely on it every day, not having, like every so often I'll accidentally go to a show high because I took an edible before.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what are we? But if I'm like drunk, it's game over.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. Like I can have two drinks and I feel like I'm still with
someone
it.
Someone doesn't have a substance abuse problem. I can have two drinks and stop.
Two drinks and stop. That's my limit.
I would drink more after.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but I'm not going on stage with more than two drinks in me. Because I feel like I can still keep it together, but one hit of weed and I'm completely on a different planet.
I'm a fucking idiot. I also think like weed audiences don't know where they are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they're so easily, they're like children.
Yeah,
I know.
There used to be this show in like, I think it was called the Soho Playhouse.
Yes. I was going to say Brian Morris, the Huron Club.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, that's another one. No offense to you, Brian, but when you book us for midnight and then you get there and there's no one there yet and he's like, some people are coming, and then the show starts at 1:30 and everyone's fucking stoned out of their minds and you're tired as hell.
Is this a show? Is this am I doing stand up?
What is going on?
Or am I babysitting?
And you're just like
adults,
super loud and just like making fun of the audience just because you like need a laugh.
They're
on a different planet.
They like don't know what's going on. They're laughing at the wrong thing.
And they're laughing at the setup.
Yes.
They're binge smoking.
Yes.
It's like joint after joint.
Yes.
Yeah.
So our show was called Green Out, and it was a great show, but it was a lot of work.
So
for
much
us.
Work.
Totally.
But it was
expensive to produce also.
Yeah.
God, those edibles are not cheap. But it was like, when it was perfect, it was incredible.
Yeah.
It was so funny. And like, but it's more like a, I don't know. I would even say it's more improv than stand up because they're like,
well, equal parts really. Because and the comedy, like the stand up element to it, like I said, it was so secondary. Like somebody could have just gotten up there and said everything they ate that day, and we would start pranking them. You know, it almost didn't matter.
It didn't matter. It's it's about,
it's more like how the comics will react to the prank.
And that's how like weed shows should be. There's also the Weeding Out the Stone show that Alex Grubard runs.
I don't know it.
And it's like the audience has to find out which person is not stoned. And it's again less about the stand up and more about like everyone's stoned and the audience is laughing at us. But what do you guys think of if everyone's just running around on like 2 milligrams, 5 milligrams high?
I hate it, man.
Really?
I also just don't. I'm not amused by high people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I used to be kind of a stoner, and I'm just like not. When someone tries to be like, yo, what's up to me? I'm like, no, get out of my face. Get out of my face.
Yes.
Because whatever you're going to say to me, you're going to think is deep. I promise you it's not going to be deep. So if I'm not in there with you, I also think stand up is like, it's about, this is super dorky, but it's about like energy and like connection between audience and stand up. So if you're like, I guess people are drunk.
Yeah, like I think that weed fucks you up about the same as alcohol.
You
like,
think so?
Yeah, like in equal parts. Yeah. Like if you had 4 drinks versus a full bowl of weed, like I feel like you get probably equally fucked up.
Yeah.
So I'm pro the whole situation. I mean, obviously I'm pro legalization. Yeah, I mean, smoke weed every day.
By the way.
But
yes.
Yeah, I'm very pro. But I think like it's good to have the option.
Yeah.
It's a little more accessible, even though like weed is pretty accessible still.
Just
but
the option, yeah.
Just the option to like go to a dispensary and you don't have to get drunk if that doesn't agree with you.
Agree.
You could just take a little weed.
And if weed makes you giggly, again, back to the giggly movies, that would be great to mix that in an audience with drunk people.
Right.
Yeah.
A crossfade
of audience, because all too drunk, you're like, fuck all y'all.
It's
too
my favorite
high.
Thing ever, being crossfaded.
I love all too drunk, though. This is the thing, is like, I love a too drunk audience, and I know they're out of control. Like, I know it's babysitting.
Yeah.
There's just something rambunctious about it, whereas stoner behavior is more like lethargic to me. So that's kind of
definitely laughs are delayed.
Yes.
And then you take a pause and then they laugh and you're like, oh, you're laughing at me. You guys are all high and you're seeing something else on stage,
like,
and I'm a fucking joke.
A goofy shirt I'm wearing.
Yes.
And you're staring at the cartoon.
yeah. Or they're just like, women talking.
For
like,
sure.
And like the guys are like,
in their head, it's just like, wah, 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 wah. I mean, to answer your question about Canadians are so friendly, like so nice.
Yeah.
They're the best audiences
and polite.
Ever polite.
Dude.
So like I can totally see them being so wonderful already and then weed making them better. But they're so good.
I literally like one of the best sets of my life in Toronto, and it was like 4 years ago. Still chasing that high.
Woo,
yeah.
Get it.
I don't think New York will ever be that nice. Every show is so different and rude in their own ways.
Oh my God. Canadians versus America. Like, this is a perfect example of when I moved here from Canada when I was 19, I went to college here. I used to walk around the city and say hi to strangers. I'd be like, hello, hi.
Oh, so sweet.
That's so cute.
That is normal, though.
Right.
Like, people are like, you're a fucking dork. I'm like, I am. Right. But like in Vancouver, where I'm from, you could strike you'd be walking around, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
That's totally
normal.
It
would probably be seen as extremely weird if you just walked by someone or were in an elevator with them and said nothing to them.
It'd be so rude.
Right?
It's so anti-Canadian culture.
And objectively, that is rude.
Yeah, but in New York, it's like
everyone's busy.
If you're
in
someone
New York,
says hello to you, you take out your AirPod, you're like, what?
You're like, what do you need?
Can I help you?
And also, you don't want to ask because you don't want them to go out of their way.
Right.
It's like a mutual,
let's
stay away from each other thing.
It's bad. If we pass someone on the sidewalk, like one person in the hallway, like passing each other toward the water fountain, it's like, we'll not look at each other.
Nope.
Just like avoid eye contact at all
costs.
Looking
anywhere but you.
Yes.
Won't even nod.
And I'm like a little teddy bear, like, hey, how's it going?
I know. I actually think that's a wetter, because then when they find themselves getting angry at you, they're like, they should look insane.
They do look insane. People were reacting in all sorts of weird ways
to me.
Yeah.
We're an insane.
Totally. I mean, I love it, but it's very different. Yeah.
Well, that's our pod.
Yeah.
You guys.
Thank
you so much for being here. I think we had a wide variety of topics. We had Lena Dunham. We had Gabe people in Hollywood. You cannot get any more. But where can we find both of you? Together and individually.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can listen to our podcast. It's called the Hot Mess Comedy Hour. You can find that wherever podcasts are available. Basically, we have comedians on and we ask them why they're a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And the conversation goes in every which direction. It's fun. Maddie on.
It's fun, yeah.
Maddie is one of our most downloaded episodes.
Shut the fuck up.
May I say.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. And yeah. This is about to be one of my most downloaded. Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I help you. You help me.
Drop those loads, baby.
And Maddie was also recently on my podcast, which is called RIP Diets. And we talk about body image. We were talking about like the mixed messages that you get as a chubby kid, because we were both chubby kids. Yes. It was honestly one of my favorite conversations.
It was great. Mm-hmm. It was great.
And yes, check it out. RIP Diets, wherever podcasts are available.
Yeah, baby. Follow her at Lubination on Instagram.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We're wifeies. Follow me at Andrea Comedy 69.
Duh.
My ass is out on that Instagram. And then obviously check out Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram and check out the show. You know, consume us. Like us, share us, retweet, all the things.
All the things.
Yeah.
And thank you guys. If you're watching on Patreon, we fucking love y'all. If you're listening, you're missing out on the Patreon. Dude. I don't want to be rude, but it's there for you. Patreon.com/Maddie Smith. It's fire. We got full video episodes and bonus Maddie content. But if you still want to just listen, at least give us a rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, because that really helps us. I always say us as if there's more. It's just
You're an industry.
It's Maddie's show, and I'm always like, we have today. But thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. That's been That Time of the Week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.